This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
The principles that we kind of say, like at here at home, you know, like shopping local and all that sort of stuff, that doesn't go out of the window when you go abroad just because you're on holiday.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that you do shop local and support those local retailers and stuff, because that's really important, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. Hello and welcome to this Tread Lightly podcast from us at the Raynham Eco Hub. My name is Kaylee.
And I'm Liz.
And this podcast is where we delve a little bit deeper into those conversations with local everyday heroes that are doing small and impactful changes. We hope that you get as much out of this as me and Liz do, and that you also laugh just as much too. We are getting very excited about all things holiday. Sangria, beaches, the sun, the sea. We are talking all about summer holidays. And if you are lucky enough to be able to have a summer holiday this year, then we are going to start unpacking and having conversations about how you can do that in the most sustainable way. So snuggle up if it's looking a little bit grey outside and start looking to some sunnier days ahead. You never guess what I'm going to be today.
What are you going to be?
Stat girl.
Stat girl.
I loved it when you did the stat girl thing last time. So listen to this.
Okay.
Fact. 2.4% of global CO2 emissions are caused by aviation.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that insane?
Plant that in my head. 2.5% of all emissions. Gosh.
So today we're going to be talking about holiday vibes.
Yay. Are you thinking about booking a holiday?
Yeah, I am. For the summer?
We can do.
Well, did you know that Olympics are coming to Paris?
Oh, do you know, the only person that's told me that is you, and it hasn't gone in my head every single time you tell me that.
Yes, in Paris this year. And I've never been to Paris, and my daughter wants to be an Olympian climber. That is her major goal in life.
Very cool.
And so she wants to go and see climbing at the Olympics women's final. Tickets have not gone on sale yet. And so I am trying to think of, I cannot drive in a city, especially in Paris, and especially when it's going to be the Olympics, because that's going to be insane.
It's going to be mad, isn't it?
So I'm looking at Eurostar, and the statistics about travelling on Eurostar to France is pretty insane.
Is it better for the environment?
So much better. I think it goes, Eurostar is the best, then driving, and then going by plane isn't the best. But for some people, that might be their only option for various reasons. So,
and so would driving include ferry then, I take it? Because I never really know, is a ferry okay or not? Because the amount of diesel in a ferry must be pretty big as well, right?
Yeah, but I guess then you're going as a group rather than... Yeah, no, at that point, yeah, I don't know what the answer to that is, but yeah. So, yeah, so we're thinking of going to Paris and just trying to think of like ways that in which we can make that a bit more eco. And apparently, did you know Eurocamp is like one of the top suggested ways to be able to have a sustainable holiday?
Is it?
Yeah.
There's Eurocamps near Paris, isn't there?
I think there is.
Is that what you're thinking of doing then?
Yes, but not if my husband hears.
Don't tell your husband.
He hates camping. And I think, I mean, to be honest, I don't actually know. I found an apartment that's right by the venue where the climbing thing is. So I have got that as a backup. But of course, by the time the tickets go on sale, I don't know if that will still be available. So I do need to have backup options, which is why I have been looking. But
nice. And what would make Eurocamp, what credentials do Eurocamp have? What is it that makes that more environmentally friendly? Do you know?
I mean, I've never been to a Eurocamp, so I don't know. But what I found today is basically you are camping, so therefore your general kind of carbon footprint is lower anyway, because you're not,
no,
for the most part, you haven't got the heating, you haven't got, you know, lighting, all that sort of stuff. I think they do have facilities there though. So I do think they have like clubhouse or something. I think they do have some sort of thing. Yeah, they do have that sort of thing. This is a part of the conversation I wanted to have, is like, we all have a holiday. We say we, like, I realise that's a really privileged thing to be able to go on holiday. But like, to go on holiday, you want to go to escape your kind of real boring everyday life, right? So you kind of want to be able to go away and have a bit of a luxury and kind of like chill out a bit, don't you, and stuff. But I guess, yeah, just trying to be mindful of that, about what that kind of looks like.
It's really hard, isn't it? Have you ever watched a program called Life in the Lobby?
No.
So it follows like two hoteliers round, and they go and look at like funky hotels all over the world. And there's been a few where they've stayed in, and they've said, we're staying at this, you know, real cutting edge, environmentally friendly hotel. And then they have a look round, and I watch with interest because I think this is really interesting for me. Like, how do you holiday sustainably? And it's kind of made from, they capture the rainwater and they use food as best as possible, sourced from the local area. And the swimming pool is filled from wherever, and the hotel itself was built from local materials. Then people go on holiday, kind of this particular one I'm thinking of, kind of within the jungle. And then I go, oh, but they're all arriving by private jet and then probably jumping into a taxi to get into the middle of the jungle to then go, isn't this sustainable and eco-friendly? And I go, oh, I don't know. Is that, I mean, these are like super, super, super rich people. So this isn't a holiday that I'm going to go on anytime soon. But is that eco? I don't know.
I don't know. It blows your mind, doesn't it? I think when I was researching for this episode, what was really, really interesting was I typed in like how to find out about having a low carbon footprint holiday. And then straight up after that question, you know, when it comes up with the little tabs, it was like how to offset your carbon footprint.
So buy yourself some
carbon
credits.
Almost like, you know, if you do, I mean, to be fair, like if you're wanting to go to Europe, for example, I think there's a really good argument to say that we've got a train system by which you can travel by train, by car. And, you know, there are other ways that you can travel, you know, to nearby countries. Obviously, if you're going to go across the Atlantic, then, you know, you've got no other choice but to. Well, I mean, there are other modes, but I don't know if there'll be any.
Jump your kids into a sailboat.
Yeah, do you know? So I guess there's...
So hard, isn't it? Yeah. I was looking that you can get from London to Morocco without any air travel, which I thought was really interesting and would be a great adventure. But in reality, who's going to actually be able to do that?
It would partly be my dream
It would be great to do, but...
I don't know if my kids would feel the same. We have a tiny little I-10 and my teenage son now is like 5'8".
Yeah.
So his little legs, or long legs, do you know what I mean? For a comfortable short journey, I can just about get him to do it without moaning. But
I think this would be like with train, then onto a bus and then onto a ferry.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what book I've been starting to read? I can't finish it because it's actually quite difficult. So it's not quite a good book review, but Around the World in 80 Trains.
Oh.
Have you heard of that?
No.
So I thought, because I absolutely would have loved to do Europe by train. And I heard of this thing called Interrail. Have you heard of like an Interrail ticket?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do not be fooled, because what I thought that was that I could buy a ticket, which actually for all four of us was not that expensive. It was like less than £1,000. So when you compare that to flight prices, actually, you know, comparable, right? No, it doesn't work like that because I thought I could leave here, our house in Raynham, and go
just
and use
train
it.
To train to train.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work like that.
Oh,
only certain train lines accept it. Oh. So you do have to be a bit savvy and you have to be a bit clever. So I bought this book, Around the World in 80 Trains, because I thought, oh my gosh, it's going to be like inspiration for me to be able to do this as a holiday and da da da, and I'll get some tips and whatever. Well, she bypasses the most of Europe because I don't know why, but she bypasses that and goes like out of Mongolia and like Russia and like all of these beautiful, amazing
still
places.
Cool though, yeah.
However, yeah, just like not where I was like thinking it would be. You know, I thought it'd be a bit like Spain, Portugal,
there'll
France.
Be a blog somewhere written about how to do Interrail.
If anyone knows, can you just tell me? Because I would love to do it. But I have found some amazing ideas for eco holidays.
Tell me.
If I said to you that I could get you a free holiday for either 1 week or 4 weeks, what would you say?
I would say yes, please.
It's in the UK.
Okay.
But if you wanted to volunteer with the RSPB, they have got volunteering holidays for free. Actually for free, people.
That's really nice. So do they put you up?
They put you up in accommodation. All you have to pay for is your food and your travel.
Okay.
But they put you up in accommodation, and there may be, it does say on there, you may, you know, share with somebody else. So there might be other people wanting to volunteer and do the same thing. You share the same house, or it could be at the time of year that it's quite quiet and you might just be on your own. But essentially, you go in some of them, you have to have a look online, but some of them, you don't even need specific skills. Somebody like me who loves doing like meet and greet and all that sort of stuff in the summer months, they need people just to do that, just to welcome visitors.
Wow,
that
would be a perfect job for you, wouldn't it?
I would love that all day.
It wouldn't be a job for you, would it?
Well, it wouldn't be a job. I'd literally just, yeah, I'd love that. I was thinking, oh my gosh, I wonder if I could convince my family that I could go away for a week.
Oh, he's just going to pop away for a week.
Because there is an age limit. It is some of them 16 plus or some of them 18 plus. But imagine being able to put that on your CV to be like, I've been able to go to these nature reserves for extended periods of time and I've learned X, Y, and Z. I mean, it's just so...
Especially if you were like, I don't know, studying or,
yeah,
you know, recently out of a job or change of circumstance, you just went, do you know what, I just need a holiday. Money's an issue. What a lovely way
to
reconnect.
I had to read it three times to be like, you know, small print.
Yeah.
But there's no, it's honestly, have a look online, RSPB, amazing.
I went for a slightly different tact when I was looking at what makes kind of holidays more eco-friendly, because it's really tricky, isn't it? I try and avoid flights, but it's not always possible. And we've had some wins, but are they wins? And it just blows your head a little bit. For example, we went to rural France last year. So we managed to get the ferry on Tesco vouchers. So
no way.
Yeah. So it ended up being really cheap. Chucked the bikes on the back and went into rural France. Really lovely. And then just could explore France by bike and all that kind of stuff. But the downside of that is you're in rural France and everything had meat and fish. So then you kind of go, we try not to eat too much meat in our family.
Wait, so what, they don't have veggie options?
Literally no veggie options.
No.
I had an onion soup, but lots of bread.
Onions. I mean, it was
really nice. But just even thinking about that, you know, like if you're looking at being environmentally friendly, looking at it really like holistically and starting to like really dig into some of the details. So for example, I hadn't realised until recently that some areas of Australia have banned certain types of sun cream. So people that are going on holiday lathering themselves in sun cream, which actually is really damaging to the coral reef and some of the sea, like the aquatic.
So good, life. Isn't it, to be able to recognise that and say, no.
No, not doing it. But how hard is it to kind of communicate that, to go, you know, taking cost into consideration and how easy it is to access stuff that is genuinely affordable? And
how do they police that?
I don't know. I guess. But that's only Australia and small bits of Australia. Yeah. But, you know, we all go and we put sun cream on and jump in the sea, but don't think about the fact that we've smothered ourselves in chemicals and then go into the sea, wash it off. Just little stuff like that, that like I'm starting to try and understand. And even like we went to somewhere that had, and actually they'd done a really good job. We'd been twice, well, we'd been before, and they would have plastic cups around the pool. Fair, safety, you know, having drinks around the pool. But instead they've now got plastic cups that they collect up at the end of the day.
Oh.
And they do now wash it up. So then when you're getting your drinks by the pool, it isn't necessarily just disposable. So I guess just being conscious to ask those questions, be like, do you have meat-free options? How do you heat, you know, heating, lighting, those side of things? What do you do in terms of disposable cups? Just asking those questions, I think, is going to mean that people are going to need to start to edge ahead by being more forward-thinking about the environment, do you think?
And also what made me think today was the principles that we kind of say, like, here at home, you know, like shopping local and all that sort of stuff, that doesn't go out of the window when you go abroad just because you're on holiday.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that you do shop local and support those local retailers and stuff, because that's really important, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. I tell you one last thing, then I want to come back to your list. But one of the things that I will never ever forget was I was playing frisbee in the sea. This was going back quite a few years now, and I lost the bloody frisbee. I just threw it, couldn't find it, must have floated away somewhere. So now I see these pictures of like ocean plastics and they pour all this out and I'm like, God, that's awful. Like my frisbee is in there. And I've never really got on, I need to get over it, but
never stopped
thinking about that. Like I was just playing on the beach, didn't think anything of it. But if I'd have just gone in a little bit, just been a bit mindful about the fact that I cannot lose that frisbee in the sea. No, just being aware, isn't it? Just being a bit conscious of like if stuff floats away and not leaving stuff and what's going to end up in the water. But hit me, what's up next on your list?
Well, I have looked at things like, so I have got some other good holiday situations that I can share in a second, but these were on a quick Google search as well. Respect nature.
Okay.
See, these like basic things, bringing it back to like basic things is just
taking it
generic
with you.
Of just taking it with you. Leave no trace. Did you know that this started in 1970 and was associated with a bit of a like hippie slogan?
And what did that mean then?
Well, basically same, like leave no trace. Like, you know, when you go somewhere, make sure you just kind of leave no trace that you've been there.
That's
and kind
so nice,
of,
isn't it?
Yeah, I think, but I didn't realise that it was kind of like a...
It's been around for years.
Yeah. Know the Countryside Code, which I am trying to learn. My kids are trying to do DfE.
Mm-hmm.
So like learning Countryside Code is part of that when they're doing their expeditions and stuff. And I think that could be quite useful here and abroad, right? I don't know if it'd be different.
And is that stuff like keeping your dog on a lead and...
Yeah.
I can't think what else that would look like.
Well, kind of staying on like paths, you know, don't go off... You know, stay on trodden paths and all that sort of stuff.
Do you want to live more sustainably, but you just don't know where to start?
Did you, like me, sign up for Veganuary and accidentally buy chicken sausages on day two?
Does the whole eco thing leave you feeling confused and sometimes overwhelmed? If so, this is the podcast for you.
Remember to check us out on our socials on Facebook and Instagram, the Raynham Eco Hub. Offsetting your carbon, which we've spoken about, which is probably, I would say, absolute last resort. But
where are you at with that carbon credits?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to sound like an absolute arse if I say what I think about it, but I think it's an absolute massive cop out.
I think it's worth a conversation though, because
it's better than nothing, right? Yeah. I think it's absolutely better than nothing, but I think it leaves it to the privileged people to kind of then take away that guilt of, oh well, you know, done this. I've flown like 5,000 miles in my private jet this year and then, oh, I'll just offset that and that'll just make me feel better.
I hear what you're saying.
It just makes me feel uncomfortable, but I guess I don't want to come across as like an absolute arse and say that, but
it's so hard, isn't it? Because you don't want people not to. If they've got the capacity to do it,
yeah.
Do it. There's a hotel in Gloucestershire called Whatley House, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And they have become the first carbon neutral hotel, carbon positive hotel. And they are about a 500-year-old hotel. So super, super old.
Wow. Where's that?
I want to say Gloucestershire.
Oh, in the UK.
Yeah, in the UK, yeah. Whatley Manor, I think it's called.
Fancy.
And the story is that they were doing great stuff. So really, really old buildings. So really challenging to heat and light differently. But they really committed to it. And to get them over the line... The owner used carbon credits. And so, you know, in the discussion, it was, you know, talking about whether that is good enough, whether that's a cop out. But I actually think that's quite cool. If actually, broadly speaking, you're really, really trying, you're on a really positive journey, but there's certain things that you just can't do because the age of the buildings, the restrictions, you know, in terms of travel, he can't do anything about the fact that people will have to travel, all of those things. So did invest then in carbon credits. And in that sense, I think... Yeah, fair dues then, actually. Get it over the line in terms of being carbon positive because that's your commitment. But you've gone 85% of the way there.
I think that's a really different story. And I rate people like that because I think when you are looking at a challenging scenario like that, yeah, I think you do need a little bit of help, yeah. Don't you? I think that's fair.
Yeah, I do too. That's where I think there is place for it. But I think it's worth a conversation.
Yeah. I guess it's all learning as well, isn't it? Like, you know, I don't offset at all. Do you know what I mean? So,
no, I hear what you're saying.
Is that better or worse? I guess it's up for a discussion. One of the things it says is if you're going to fly economy.
Okay.
But I don't understand. I was going to ask, like, what do you think that means? Like,
do you think that means that more people are fitted onto a plane than if you go first class?
I don't know. Well, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Is it related to first class or is it related to private jets? Which I don't know if any of our listeners have got a private jet, but...
Park mine up outside the studio. Oh, I see. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But they were even talking about if you're travelling and you kind of go, oh, well, I'll pack for the week and I'll pack 85 pairs of knickers just to pack a bit lighter.
Yes, I read that. I absolutely read that.
And I think, like, I can imagine people, like, you know, shouting at their phones being like, what difference is, like, two pairs of pants going to make in the grand scheme of things when China are da-da-da-da-da? And I can hear that, but... I think it's a mindset, isn't it?
Everyone's doesn't put an extra two pairs of pants in. And
two pairs of pants, you're done, aren't you?
But do you know what? I don't know about you, but when I was about, I don't know, like 18, 19, 20, I did some really exotic holidays. And I can remember going on, like, holiday prep was a thing, right? And I would go get my hair cut. I would, like... go out and buy a whole new holiday wardrobe. Yeah. I'd have like holiday trainers. I'd even go to the airport and have like duty free perfume and skincare stuff to like go. Did you?
Yeah.
So I'd do all of this stuff and I'd go and I didn't wear half of the stuff because I just. Like, you just, I don't know, just
in a bikini, aren't you?
Yeah, just re-wore. Yeah, I didn't really. So I come back with all this stuff that was still had tags on, didn't really use. And I come back in November and I weren't going to wear them. And then by the time next summer comes around to actually wear them, I never, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess that's a mindset thing as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
just like whereas consumerism
now,
that comes with going on holiday.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so mad.
But I also, like, realise that when you are going on holiday, it's an exciting treat, isn't it? And I associate treats as like buying myself things.
A thing, yeah.
Do you know? But also, when we went on holiday when our kids were younger, I went and took the kids swimming whilst Nath packed like clothes and stuff up. And he forgot to pack all of my clothes.
Packed for himself though, yeah?
And his kids. And left half of my
clothes. That's a subliminal message to you there, Kaylee, isn't it? Oh no, bikini all week.
No, but it was going home. No, on the way home, so he left them there.
That's even worse.
And I had a really nice pair of jeans in there. But yeah, so.
Gifted them to someone abroad.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just Butlins, mate. I called up Butlins, like, can you send me my clothes? They were like, they are not there.
Did they?
Yeah, they are not there. They're not there.
And who's got your jeans?
I don't know. They're really nice. They're really comfy. But did you know Youth Hostel Association are both affordable and eco? And did you know that you will be heated by a biomass boiler?
In all YHS?
No, okay. In some.
In some.
So you need to check. And you could charge your phone using solar panels.
I love that. I really love that. And I need to get back on that wagon because when we went travelling and stayed in youth hostels the whole time and had some unbelievably cool hostels that I would quite happily go with my kids and my family. Like,
yeah.
I did experience one absolutely appalling hostel that I will never, ever forget. But otherwise, throughout the whole time, it was lovely. Like, come together in the evening and you'd eat and the rooms were really nice and I didn't realise they were eco. I didn't really think about that, but of course they are because they're going to have more people in there and just a bit more basic, but so cool.
Yeah. And I think like you associate the word, I associate the word hostel with like temporary accommodation or something. I don't think people like see it as just a place
holiday.
Where, yeah, that you can go and you just...
I had ones that were as nice as being in a hotel, like honestly. But YHA, I think you end up with a certain standard, don't you? One of the hostel that I was talking about that was absolutely awful was in downtown LA. And I've never...
Well, you've been to downtown LA?
Honestly, I've never been so frightened. The hostel that I stayed in was behind a metal door. It was awful.
Why? Hold on, can we just rewind? Why were you there?
We're in LA and I was like, I'd obviously had too much of a positive experience in youth hostels. So I was like, oh,
no, but why was you in LA?
Just visiting LA.
No, people don't just go and visit. You visited LA?
Yeah. This was when I was travelling. This was going years back.
Wowzers, Liz. This is like insane.
But I then realised that YHA had a certain standard. I've got so much to tell you about that story. That's for another podcast and another
day. Wow.
I got threatened by a gun.
What?
Yeah, awful. So many stories. I'll bring my diary around one day. I wrote a diary. I was absolutely traumatised.
Can we, for declaration, this was how many years ago?
Oh, God.
I'm trying to sell them right now.
Oh, no, but this wasn't YHA. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
So what I'm saying is you get YHA have got a definite standard.
And this wasn't.
Not just hostels
okay,
in general.
I understand.
So I think I got spoilt by staying in YHA because they're so nice.
Right.
And then I thought all hostels are of YHA standard. But listener reference, they're not.
Wowzers. Oh, gosh.
A little trauma dump there for you.
A little trauma dump. I mean, to be honest, I think there's a YHA in Snowdonia and we did look at booking there to go and stay when we climbed a couple of times, actually. But they are always fully booked in like the really hot spot places.
Oh, right,
so you do need to get in quite early. But I suppose in some of the quieter areas, And they're so cheap.
So cheap. And you can get private rooms as
well.
Yeah,
it did say that.
And really up your alley, that like there's a real emphasis on like just then going out into the communal areas and just being like, eating together. Are you travelling?
Yeah.
When we went travelling, it was just after the tsunami, whatever year that was, 2004,
five? My gosh.
Boxing Day 2004 or 5. So we met a lot of people in America who had been travelling down through Indonesia when that happened, and a load of these people had left like the day before or the morning of, like awful, so many awful stories, but they then travelled through and spent Christmas in America. But you get to meet all these people, which you wouldn't otherwise if you were sitting in a hotel room.
And that's what stories I would absolutely love. Yeah, stories. Absolutely love stories.
Yeah. This is your come find a white chair in France.
Yeah. May not go and Google.
What else do we need to know? Anything else we can think about?
Well, did you know? So in the same way that the RSPB do voluntary holidays, the Waterway Recovery Group, they also do some kind of eco holidays. However, you have to pay for these, which to be fair, not everyone expects to get everything for free. So you can go and volunteer with them for £80.
What?
But that's all of your meals, your accommodation, your transport. They'll even pick you up from the train station and they can promise you good times. And they even take Duke of Edinburgh volunteers.
Wow, that's really cool.
Isn't it just?
How long are you there for then?
I think you can pick. So I think it's majority, I think it's like a week, but go online and have a look. They basically dig canals.
Dig canals?
They dig canals.
As if that still exists.
Yeah. And then they also like help repair bridges and all that sort of stuff.
That's very cool.
They give you all training. Yeah. And it, like for £80.
And I know you're not sitting on the beach, are you? So it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but like sometimes people's holidays are about break from the norm
and experiencing new stuff. Yeah.
I think
there is a space for, and actually interestingly, next year I am turning 40, and I'm still friends with my school friends that I become friends with when we were like year 7 of secondary school.
That's
and
really
we're
nice.
All turning 40 at the same time, so we're all talking about like what do we do to celebrate, because when we were in year 7 in Mr. Miller's class in the science lab, we all sat there and said like,
big up Mr. Miller,
science teacher. He was quite a ledge actually. I think he kind of got many grey hairs from us, but anyway, I remember sitting there saying like, if we're friends when we're 40, like we need to have a big hoo-ha. We're still friends and we're going to be 40.
That's
I'm gonna have
really
a big hoo-ha.
Cool.
But obviously then it comes into the conversation of like, where do we want to go, what do we want to do, and all that sort of stuff. And there is a time and a place where you go, actually I want to go sit on a beach with a sangria, go swim in the sea, and I want to just sit there with my girls laughing, joking, having just the most chilled out time for a couple of days, because that's all it's going to be, like 2 nights max, because we've all got kids, busy lives and all that jazz. But I, for a long time, beat myself up and I was like, no, I just can't. I've recited to the fact that actually it is okay to like not absolutely give up every single luxury and say no to all of the things that I know that's going to give me so much joy to be able to sit and connect with them. So I've kind of, recited to the fact that I've not flown for 6-7 years. So in the grand scheme of things, we'll probably end up going to a cheap hotel in Spain, which will probably be a 1.5-star. So I probably won't be in the hotel at all. I'll probably live on the beach. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And this is it. You can't... I had this conversation because I flew for the first time since 2019, last summer. And I was the same, wasn't I? We had this conversation. I find it so hard because you can feel so guilty.
Yeah.
But do I just say I'm never, ever, ever flying ever again?
See, I did, and that I think is why I beat myself up, because if you remember, I am an all or nothing girl, so I was like, no, I'm not flying anymore. Like, we've done 6 years, we can literally do another 6 years. I'm not flying.
And you've had some great experiences, haven't you?
I mean, we've staycationed, so yeah, we've had some really good holidays in the UK, and we've seen some really beautiful things. I think that's one thing that's happened over COVID, isn't it, is that loads of people have experienced what the UK has got to offer in terms of like, you know, holidaying and kind of just seeing what beautiful places that we've got. We're going back to Cornwall, a really, really dirt cheap holiday over Easter.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
Are you driving down there?
We're going to drive in our little car.
Aww.
And we can only take a backpack each because it's so tiny. It's so tiny, but that's
toothbrush and a pair of knickers, that's all you need.
Yeah, pack lightly, kids, pack lightly. But yeah, but like we've experienced so many like UK.
That's so nice, isn't
UK
it?
Holidays.
And again, I think it's the mindset change that if you are going to go away and you are going to fly and you're going to consider the things that we chatted about today and you're going to, you are that person. So you will try your best. But at the same time, like you are right, like it's not going to be that you are going to change the world by never, ever, ever flying again, is it?
So no, exactly.
Have a great time.
Thank you for listening to the Raynham Eco Hub's Tread Lightly podcast. If, like us, you're trying to be more sustainable, then like and subscribe to get notified when we release new episodes, or even better, share with your friends and family. Hope you enjoyed today's episode, and thank you for joining us. Stay safe, keep going, and find us on socials. Cheers, guys.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.